band leader and teacher Obo Adi. His contribution to the raising of local knowledge and appreciation of African music in general, and Ghanaian music in particular, and his tireless work with local youth cannot be overstated. As part of our fall membership drive, KABU is proud to present a celebration and retrospective of Obo's work on Thursday, October 2nd, from 1 until 4 p.m. Musical offerings, remembrances, and interviews will be part of this important figure's legacy. Join Andy Hosh and DJ Charlie and others at 1 p.m. on Thursday, October 2nd. The preceding hour, from noon until 1 p.m., will be filled with Ghanaian music as part of DJ Charlie's regular World Beat Connection time slot. See you then.
Well, my guest today is Tom Engelhardt, who is the creator and editor of the Tom Dispatch, a website which is a project of the Nation Institute. It's an excellent website, and he's also the author of The American Way of War and the United States of Fear, and his most recent book is Shadow Government. So, Tom Engelhardt, welcome to KABU.
Good to be here.
Well, let's jump right in, because we don't have a whole lot of time, but one thing is, you mentioned in this book is the U.S. went from kind of a national security state to a global security state. How did that happen?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, it was really an extraordinary development. So, I mean, this is all post-9/11, really, but I mean, if you think about the totalitarian governments of the previous century, they were like Russia, the Soviet Union. They were able to monitor their own citizens quite closely, but the technology wasn't there. They couldn't imagine truly listening in on the planet. I mean, what's been extraordinary in our period, I mean, and we know it both at the corporate level and strikingly, particularly since the Edward Snowden revelations, at the governmental level, is that the NSA and more generally the U.S., what's called the U.S. intelligence community, has exploited in a remarkable way the technology available to almost literally listen in and gather communications from anybody on the planet, anybody and everybody. I mean, you know, there was a big brouhaha over Angela Merkel, the German head of Germany, being the chancellor, being listened in on by the NSA. But the real story is much more interesting. It gives you a sense of the breadth of this, which is that the U.S. was actually listening in on a whole range of German politicians. I mean, supposedly dozens of them, younger politicians, as they rose. And she just rose to power. So we were listening in on her. But it was, I mean, this is so broad, and the ability to break, to listen, to break into, to, I mean, even to turn yourself into an avatar, for instance, as people in the intelligence community have done, and go on video game landscapes to see what other avatars are doing. What evil things might they be doing? What might people be planning while playing video games? I mean, I don't know. This, I'm so old. I'm an old guy. I'm 70 years old. I don't even completely understand this, but I am boggled by it. I mean, the ability to see more or less everything and everywhere, which doesn't mean either the ability to understand everything everywhere, or even much possibly, or this omniscience, the ability to see everything, is not omnipotence. That is the power to do anything, as we've proven since 9/11, strikingly.
Sort of supposed to be godlike, but not quite.
not. Well, you know, we are, if you think of God as a kind of eye in the sky, we are kind of godlike in one sense. But we've been remarkably ungodlike in our ability to use any of what we've seen in an effective way. I mean, effective, I'm speaking from the point of view of what Washington wanted to do.
Kind of a very wrathful, jealous God, just like the Old Testament, it seems.
Very much so, yes.
Looking for Amalekites everywhere.
Yes.
Well, if we can track all these rising leaders all around the world, does that open up the doors to a blackmail or messing around with their internal politics, things like that?
Well, you know, at least, the problem with some of this discussion is, of course, we don't have the information to have it in many ways. I mean, the answer is, of course, yes, it does open up that possibility. You know, what's actually been done, what's actually happened, largely we don't know. I mean, I often say people, you know, the one thing that Edward Snowden revelations, they were extraordinary. I mean, we've never had anything like this, in essence. But they also were deceptive in a way, because it left, I think, many of us with the feeling that we actually understood something of how this intelligence, secret intelligence, increasingly secret intelligence system worked. But in fact, if you think about it, the NSA is just one of 17 major intelligence outfits in the U.S. government. I mean, this incredible labyrinth of intelligence. And 16 of them, nobody has stepped forward. You know, nobody stepped forward really from the CIA. Nobody stepped forward from, you know, the Defense Intelligence Agency. Nobody stepped forward from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which happens to have 16,000 employees and which we just built a $2 billion gleaming headquarters for in the Washington area in the post 9/11 era. I mean, this is almost, you know, to me, I think. If you were to think for a minute about the Republicans, if you told the Republicans that there were in Congress, that there were 17 interlocked agencies dealing with, I don't care what domestic subject, you know, health, Social Security, welfare, it could be anything, you know, they would go at it with a meat cleaver. We have 17 intelligence agencies. We spend supposedly $68 billion, it might be more, a year, something like that. It's been up to $80 billion at various points, on intelligence. It hasn't really delivered much, but forgetting that, I mean, it's a kind of madness. I mean, it's unless you're in the intelligence world, and then it's not madness. It's a way of life, and a good way of life.
Well, you know, supposedly Edward Snowden has more revelations coming. That he sort of, I guess, he and Glenn Greenwald and whoever else associates are, that they have more revelations to come. So it's just, you wonder how what's in store. What are we going to find out next? Do you have any idea at all?
No, of course I don't. And no. And I also, and as I say, I think the real question is, I mean, I think we've probably found out the most explosive things that Snowden brought out, because it's the nature of things that you want to get those out first. So I think that we more or less do know. But I think the question is, it is the system that's been set up, the what I call our shadow government, it is set up in such a way that Edward Snowden or Chelsea Manning, for that matter, they can't be alone. You know, we will have other Edward Snowdens. The system is created for such a thing, for some younger or older person inside that system who begins to feel something's really wrong. And based on what he's already seen, and he has examples of how to do it, or she, coming forward. So I think that Edward Snowden isn't the end of something. He's really the beginning. I think in the coming years, we will know more, and it might be about other agencies. And I have a feeling if we knew about the CIA or the DIA or the other one I mentioned,
the spatial,
or any of the other ones, I think we'd be shocked. I think the revelations will be shocking. It's such a labyrinthine world that they have to be.
Well, you know, since the technology makes it so easy to accumulate all this data, it also makes it easier to take it out, you know, make it public, too.
That's right. That's right. It provides, and the thing is that the very people inside this structure who may be designated to make it the safest structure from that kind of leak possible may in the end be people that one of them may come forward. I mean, in other words, I think what I would say about about the intelligence world is they have imagined a new world in which, in essence, nothing is private if they want it not to be. But they psychically made one exception, which is why the anger over Edward Snowden was so great. They believe that the only world to which privacy would still adhere was their own world.
That's a delusion, isn't it?
That was their delusion. And of course, if you make a world in which there is conceptually no ultimate privacy, you can't actually rule yourself out. And it turned out they couldn't, and they won't be able to. So, I think that is the kind of fly in the ointment in this thing. The other fly in the ointment, I wrote about it this week at the website tomdispatch.com. In my article this week, the other fly in the ointment is that their ability to collect this staggering amount of stuff on any or all of us is not reflected in their ability to make use of it. And weirdly enough, as we've seen with the recent crisis in the Middle East, American intelligence has regularly been behind the eight ball. Clearly, in its overall advice and what it's told the president, not up to par, not able. I mean, as many of us aren't, to predict the future. I've always believed that if you got together, if the government were to loose just a couple of million dollars, get together a bunch of smart people and set them loose on open documents, that they could get much more actionable.
Well, why don't we hang on to that? We're gonna go out to our friends at the membership desk, and they're going to tell you why you should become a member of KBOO, and then we will take a few minutes out for that, and then we'll come back to our guest.
That's right, and we are very pleased to join you. My name is Will, and this is Sam.
Hi.
And we are here to ask you to reach into your wallets and pick up your phones and keep this terrific radio station going and keep these great programs that we have on the air right now. Pear's putting on an amazing show about a very interesting book, a book I'd certainly like to read. And you actually can, if you call up now, pledge your support to KBOO by dialing 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266, and we do have copies of this book, Shadow Government. Isn't that right, Sam?
We do. This is, there's a whole lot to tell you about it, but I'm just going to mention that you can have your very own copy. How about $5 a month for KBOO, and then a copy of Shadow Government for you?
Only $5 a month?
Only $5 a month. And in addition to knowing that you have done your part to keep KBOO strong, vibrant, and independent of anyone but you, the listener.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's very important.
And fiscally solvent for yet another year. We're working on year number 47 here, and we can do that with your support. 877-500-5266. You can also use the internet. Yes, it's useful for so many things, as well as listening to and supporting your community radio, an electronic media outlet that is here to serve your interests, not to serve you up to advertisers. And you do that when you call 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM on the old internet there. You click on the jar that says donate today, and that'll take you through a safe, convenient, easy, and secure process to make your tax-deductible 501c3 type. The IRS calls it a charitable donation. I call it an investment in your community.
That's right. And when you join the KBOO community, that's what you're doing. You join a community, you become a member of the radio station. You're an active member. You can vote. You can come in and obviously volunteer and have a terrific time meeting people and learning all sorts of things. There's a lot going on at KBOO, and there's a lot of opportunities. And you don't just become part of a demographic. We don't sell your names to different companies that will then sell you junk mail. You will be part of a community, and a very, very valuable community. And you can place a value on that by dialing 877-500-5266. Let me say that one more time. It's 877-500-KBOO.
Yeah, it's a community that includes folks like James, who renewed his membership from Salem, and Anna, who renewed her membership from right here in Portland, and David renewing from Philomath, who most likely listens at 104.3, our translator out of Corvallis. Thank you, everyone, and I'd like to thank you as well, dear listener, but I can't do that until you make the call and introduce yourself. 877-500-5266. We're about to go back to a little bit more of what we're asking you to support, but so make that call right now.
This may well be the best call you make all day. It'll be so productive. You'll be doing something positive for yourself and for KBOO. And it's really important you do that, because we can't run on fumes. We have to have some money to pay off the bills and the debt collectors and all the people who feed off radio station like this. And KBOO is a terrific organization. And talking about feeding, do we have some restaurants to thank? I know we should thank the Bread and Ink. They provided breakfast today.
Bread and Ink Cafe, 3610 Southeast Hawthorne. They're open 7 days a week, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Bridges Cafe, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And Cabazon, open for dinner 7 nights a week, 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at 5200 Northeast Sacramento. These folks understand the importance, the vitality of the community relies on a community controlled and focused source of information, news, and entertainment. So that's what you're supporting when you call 877-500-5266.
That's right. I mean, this really is local radio. It's important to realize that we are here for you and you are here for us because this is a community relationship. And dial us at 877-500-5266.
And now we are back with our guest, Tom Engelhardt, the author of Shadow Government. It's a book that is available to people who want to pledge to KBOO. So let's talk about this idea of, you know, scooping up every scrap of data, but it doesn't really give you knowledge or understanding of what's going on in the world. That's kind of interesting.
It's very, very curious, I would say. I mean, it's almost like the flood of data. You're talking about billions and billions and billions of bits of data. A week, a month, you know, I mean, some of these figures that came out of the Snowden revelations were just stunning, just on the numbers, you know. I mean, 1.4 billion bits of data a year picked up just by, you know, one system off Iran, for instance, or, you know, same thing for Jordan, Pakistan. So, I mean, the amount of this, it's like a flood of stuff, but what you do with it is another question. And if you look at the 9/11 period, I mean, if we back up simply from intelligence, well, I mean, one of the things we can say in terms of more general intelligence is that just about every step the United States has taken since 9/11 has, in terms of Washington, been a disaster. I mean, it's almost remarkable. Militarily, there is no force like the American military on Earth. We have a kind of destructive power that's amazing, and yet, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, you know, you start to look at the places where we've intervened, disasters. We're now in our third Iraq war. I mean, mm-hmm. If I had said to you in the 1970s, in the middle of the Cold War, I'd said, look, starting in 1990, the United States is going to fight three wars in one country over the next quarter century. I mean, you would have thought I was a madman if I had said Iraq. But here we are back again, and we already know, I think it's already obvious, since we've been through it twice, that this can't end well. We know they know it doesn't work because they're saying so, but they're doing it anyway. It's rather remarkable. So I would say militarily and in terms of intelligence, I mean, we've squandered enormous amounts of money on a structure, an intelligence and military structure that leaves people in it living well and doing well and, you know, in the full militarized structure of this country. But in terms of doing anything in the world, it doesn't matter whether you're talking intelligence or military moves or interventions or whatever, none of it works.
Well, you know, in your book, you mentioned that, you know, they scoop up all this data, but they have a sort of an outmoded kind of concept of what it all means.
Yeah. The problem, I was writing about this week. One of the problems is, in some ways, just to look at the American intelligence system again, in some ways, but I think it's probably true of the military system as well, it works on the basis of failure. I mean, I'll give you a simple example, you know, from the thing that everybody's talking about right now, which is the intruder at the White House. You know, I mean, an intruder makes it into the White House. So, you know, this is a failure of the Secret Service, and there evidently were a couple of these. So what will be the result of that? We don't know yet, but I think we can guess. You know, the result of failure is more money will go into it. Mm-hmm. You will be able to get less close to the White House. You know, it will something, in other words, the system will actually be beefed up. And every failure, starting with 9/11, which was a catastrophic failure from which not a single person in that world lost a position. Many of them ended up getting promoted, in fact. But that failure led to one of the great explosions of an intelligence apparatus, the great one, maybe, in human history. And every failure since has led to a further bolstering of the system. I mean, failure works for the system in a certain weird sense. I mean, that's strange.
Well, I think of all, I think of this big storage center, the building in Utah.
Yes, Bluffdale, Utah.
And it's interesting that it uses, you wonder how much power does it use up? And it uses over 1 million gallons of water every day or something like that. And you wonder, is that even sustainable? Will that thing crash sometime in the future?
Yes. I mean, it's actually already had a couple of mysterious fires and whatever. I mean, they've actually had problems with that center, which, by the way, is supposed to scoop up, and this is a term I'm going to tell you without understanding it, a yodabyte of data. It's supposed to be able to scoop up and store.
Like yada, yada, yada.
Data, which is so big, I have no, I'm basically an enumerate. I have no conception of what that is, but it's so staggering, of all the data that the NSA is scooping up around the world. I mean, really,
very
strange.
I heard that one possible reason for building in Utah was that, the Mormon missionaries, they come back and a lot of them live in Utah and they have learned a lot of languages. So you have this big pool of very patriotic translators right there in Bluffdale.
That makes some sense, although I know nothing about that. That I do not know.
Uh-huh. Well, it's something to check out sometime. But it's just amazing how they just scoop up all this data and they don't seem to know what to do with it. And it's because their concept of how the world runs is basically, in my mind, is basically flawed.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes. Libya is a good example of this, for instance. I mean, we don't know a lot about what the intelligence community told the presidents, told the White House about Libya. This was before the intervention in 2011. But the one thing we do know is that they said, at that point, the Libyan autocrat Muammar Gaddafi's troops were heading for Benghazi. And they said if his troops reach Benghazi, there will be, in essence, a genocidal act. Now, this seems not to have been true. I mean, there would have been something bloody, but it wouldn't have been clearly wouldn't have been like that. But they said that. I mean, it was like an encouragement to intervene, despite the fact that if you looked around the world at American interventions up to that point since 9/11, you could say that everywhere we intervened, chaos after a fashion followed. They clearly did not say to the president, hey, you intervene, you send our Air Force in, it's casualty-less, et cetera, nonetheless, there will be chaos. I mean, there was no suggestion of that as far as we know. And, of course, the result of the Libyan intervention has been chaos. The looting of Gaddafi's arsenals and the sending of the weaponry to Islamic extremists and terrorists across the Middle East and all as far down as Nigeria. I mean, it's really an extraordinary story of disaster following. And Libya is, at this point, a failed state.
Oh, boy. Well, I think we're going to take a few minutes out now. We're going to go out to our friends at the KABU membership desk, and they can tell you why you need to become a member and what you can get for becoming a member. So we're going to take a few minutes out to do that.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Per. This is a fascinating show. And we actually have a copy of this book that if you call up right now at 877-500-5266, that's 877-500-5266, you can get a copy of this book, Shadow Government. And I mean, I think the most interesting story going on in the world today is this geopolitics, this the wars breaking out all over the place, and the commodities we're fighting over, like oil or coltan or all these sort of things. And you learn about these stories through Press Watch by Teresa Mitchell, and of course this terrific show by Per Fogren. And then I'm sure everybody remembers Linda Olsen Osterlund's terrific shows. These people put a lot of work into their shows, and it's a lot of passion, love, and care. And you can reflect that by saying thank you with a donation and calling us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABU. My man Sam has something to tell you.
Well, Will, you mentioned a couple times how when folks call 877-500-5266, they become part of a community of radio listeners, and they have become active supporters of the sort of radio that is just all too rare in today's media environment.
Very rare.
Exactly.
Not medium rare. Definitely. But it is well done here, and that's why we care. I'm sorry, I had to do that joke.
Well done. Anyway, that community also includes Roger, a renewing member from Portland. Thanks, Roger, for helping us maintain that 11%. Now, Roger and all the other renewing members are helping us maintain that 11% ratio there of listeners to supporters. And as I really want to raise that. I want to raise it. I want to get us to 14%.
14% now we're
14%
talking.
14% by noon. And we can do that. Well, you know.
I believe in it.
Yeah.
I believe in the folks out there who
just setting
need
realistic
to grab their
goals.
Phones and dial
877. Go on.
500-5266.
Say
I know
it, brother.
Sam agrees. It's 877.
Yeah.
500-5266. It's so important. It may be the most important thing you'll do all day. Depending on what your job is, it could well be the most important thing you do all day, because you will be taking care of your community, the community you live in, the community you thrive in, and the community that you love, which is in Portland, which is on KBOO.
Yes, and KBOO.fm through the old internet there, yep. Reaching everywhere throughout the entire planet. This is locally produced, locally owned, with a global reach. And that's what you are supporting when you call 877-500-5266. When you throw down $5 or more per month, you can get your very own copy of, I believe this is Tom Engelhardt's book,
yep.
Shadow Government, Surveillance, Secret Wars, and Global Security. Oh my goodness. And this is the sort of information that not a lot of people with this sort of platform are willing to tackle. But KBOO does, because that's what you want to hear, because that's what you need. The sort of information that is necessary to be fully engaged in your community, whether it's we're talking about just your neighborhood, we're talking about the city of Portland, the Cascadia bioregion, the United States in general, or even, as I said, Planet Earth. You are a citizen of Planet Earth, and you can get what you need from KBOO, because KBOO gets what it needs from you when you call 877-500-5266.
Yeah. Please call us at 877-500-5266. And you can get this fascinating book called Shadow Government. And it is about what's going on in the entire world and our imprint as Americans on the world. And so, please call us 877-500-5266. And Sam, you wanted to tell me something?
Well, I just wanted to remind folks one more time to call 877-500-5266 or do it online at kboo.fm. You click on the jar that says donate today.
And now we're back with our guest, Tom Engelhardt. We have a few minutes left. We're going to talk about more about his book, Shadow Government. And one thing I wonder about is why you ask it in one of your in the book is, why can't Washington stop?
Another version of that same question is, why is there no learning curve in Washington? You know, and I wish I could fully answer this. You know, I don't. It's always easier to ask questions than to answer them. And I mean, I'm struck by it with the recent decision to go into the Middle East. I mean, we've been, in essence, kind of spooked into Iraq War III, Iraq Syria War III, you could say. And it's so obvious. We've had literally the experience in the same area twice of what happens, and yet we do it again, and we do it in more or less the same way. I mean, it's send in the bombers. You know, we're starting to put troops on the ground. Of course, we don't call them boots on the ground, and so on and so forth. The question, I think, it's a question. I don't think I have to answer it. I think I just have to ask it, which is it's a question for the American people, which is, you know, why is there no learning curve in Washington? And in fact, why in this period has every solution to any problem become a military solution? I was very struck, to give you an example recently, and it's an issue that's become more important in the last few days, to us, although it was very important otherwise, is Ebola. When the president finally decided he had to do something about Ebola, what did he do? He decided, once again, I mean, once upon a time, the United States was quite capable of launching civilian humanitarian missions. But he's sending the military. It's the military going in again. We're even calling it an Ebola surge, as if it were
a war.
You know, I think the militarization of our world, our language, and of the idea. I mean, I don't think there's foreign policy anymore. I think there's really military policy, versions of military policy. And I think the military, I mean, one of the questions which just came up recently in the United States in terms of the militarization of the police, something that Tom Dispatch has been covering for years and years and years, the degree to which this country has militarized and can't think outside military frameworks is striking. And I think that is at least part of the answer to why there's no learning curve, because there are no other solutions in anybody's brains except these military solutions, which we've literally proven time and again don't work, but are extremely destructive, kill a lot of people, and are devastating, and create further chaos, destabilize whole areas of the planet, and of course rob the United States of a lot of money.
In your book, you call it a kind of a proselytizing warrior religion, which is really a great description. But we're going to have to end this now, and we've been talking with Tom Engelhardt, who is the proprietor of the Tom Dispatch. It's a website. He's also, his latest book is Shadow Governments. Tom Engelhardt, thank you very much for being with us.
Per, thank you so much for having me.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Busy Thursday morning. Our membership drive is in progress. And coming up next, it's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Stick around.
On the next Ear to the Streets of Portland, tune in to hear two of Portland's most beloved hip-hop artists, producers, activists, and performers here in the city to discuss their styles of hip-hop music. KBOO's Mike Crenshaw and Terrence Cool Nuts Scott will be on KBOO Airwaves Thursday, October 2nd, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Hear the hard work it takes to stay loyal to an ever-changing genre of music that is hip-hop, and how these two artists have had to evolve with hip-hop. Also, call in with your questions at 503-231-7145. Again, that's KBOO's Mike Crenshaw and Terrence.